This is Sarah.
This is Jenna. We're from Name Three Songs. And today we have a special show featuring four different artists from South by Southwest Music Festival.
Hi, we're back and you're listening to Getting Candid with Name Three Songs. And this week's episode is a little different than normal because Jenna and I were in Austin, Texas together at South by Southwest Music Festival, which was really cool. It was my first year ever going, and Jenna's been going for years because she's based in Austin. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about what the festival is about?
South by, for short, is known as a conference festival meeting of minds from all over the world. It has a music portion, it has film, it has interactive education. There's some other sectors, technology. But of course, what we care about most is music. So this means that there's rising artists from all over the world who get to come into town for the festival and play shows together. It's spread out over venues all across the city. And it's just a really great time of show hopping and seeing who you can find and seeing what new people you're going to discover that you didn't even know about. So for us, as people who love going to shows and people who love discovering up-and-coming artists, this really was such a great experience.
Yeah, it was really exciting. Like, even just doing the research leading up to the festival to figure out who we wanted to talk to for this radio show, because we discovered so many new artists from all over the world. And we like tried to really focus on speaking to artists not based in America as much as possible, just because, like Jenna said, like this very much so is kind of like a meeting of the minds, a cultural experience in lots of ways where people are getting to share like their culture and their background and all that stuff with other musicians and creatives, etc. So it was just really awesome getting to prior and in real time discover a lot of really awesome artists.
So today we are going to be talking to four of these artists. This is El Shimada, Bay the Lone, Ashi, and Ada Oda, all from different countries around the world. We're getting into all of that today. These are going to be snippets of our interviews. We are going to have all of this living on our podcast feed, and we're going to have the full interviews living on our blog if you guys want to find out more from these artists. And if you're new here and you're just tuning in, we are Name Three Songs. We have a podcast where we talk about the music industry and pop culture under a feminist lens, as well as doing artist interviews like we're doing today.
So we'll be back with our first interview with El Shimada after this.
El is a violinist, producer, and DJ from Tokyo who's currently living in Melbourne, Australia. And she is such a cool person, genuinely, like has a background as a violinist, has a background in like audio engineering, and truly is doing music because she just loves it so much and is bringing in her other passions, including mixing cultures, mixing activism, and bringing it all into electronic format.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so awesome getting to speak with her about all these things and also getting to see her perform, because it very much was giving pop star, which is so fun. She had like one of those like mic headsets, which like I'm always wishing stars would have, because I'm like, you need your hands for dancing, and she needed her hands for dancing and violining, which I know isn't a word, but it was just so awesome watching her perform because it truly was a performance, and she was just like putting her artistry like completely out there.
All right, today we are here at South by Southwest. This is one of the first days of music kicking it off. We're talking to El Shimada. El, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
We're so excited to be here with you. So, starting off, South By has been around for like 30 years. It's known for bringing artists from all over the world to the city. And a lot of these are kind of up-and-coming artists, people who are really exciting and who have, you know, a lot of potential. So for you, what drew you to this festival in wanting to come and participate in it?
Well, I came from Tokyo originally, but now I'm based in Melbourne, Australia. Honestly, I'm just ready for something new, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've been a musician for a while now, and always been really proud to be on the ground. Like, I love like the freedom and like and the creativity of the underground, but more I'm in this industry, I'm just like ready to also get my backs loaded and also like I see how much more expansive things can be when like all aspects of like music is centered, like rather than just like having good music but no team.
So is South By something that artists like you like think about in regards to something like you come here and there's like a lot more potential for you to like meet the right people to get you in the right doors to like potentially help your career grow? Right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, for the kind of music that I do, there's not a huge industry representation in Australia. So, yeah, I guess like, you know, I'm always like filled with people that's like not as musically. It's been really cool, like meeting like-minded artists.
Yeah.
And also I came here to represent Melbourne Sound and Tokyo Sound.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. Yeah, because I feel like there definitely already feels like a community feel where like people are all coming together to like witness something that they might not normally witness, which I think is really exciting about festivals like this, where people are all just like, we're here for discovery.
Totally. And people are so friendly, I feel like. So we have like a great venue for like music. And it's just so cute because like even if I'm like walking around the city, like, you know, like just chilling, someone's like, hey, are you a musician? Or like, you know, you're in a festival. Like, I feel like it's just like opens up a space to talk to strangers and like normalize it.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Awesome. And I think also because of the nature of this festival, like there's so many opportunity, like yourself to meet artists from all over the place, you know, sharing the same stage. So there's almost this aspect of like kind of cultural exchange as well.
100%. It's so cool because sometimes like you never know, even if like you know the artist, like they're trying to work or they're trying to chill or they're trying to like stick with their crew.
Yeah.
Socialize. Here, like, you know, it's just like expected that like people are like here to hustle and then and then to connect most importantly, and I feel like I like this energy. I don't know if I can do it for more than a week.
That's a lot.
I'm definitely like pushing out like my extroverted side, which is my main side.
That's so fun. I feel like that's also the thing that's cool is because so many people have come from all over the world, I feel like everybody's so much more open to being like, okay, like, let's put ourselves out there, let's meet new people, even when it comes to just other artists getting to know each other, which, like, doesn't happen as often anymore, and I feel like especially with how touring has changed, like, post-COVID, like, you don't see people, like, intermingling as much, and so getting to all be here together must be really awesome.
100%, and I think also like a lot of like music business has been like so focused on like, you know, like whether it's, if it's like Spotify streaming numbers Insta followers, TikTok, like there's a lot that happens. Also, of course, on emails, like there's a lot that happens on the screen, and like it's just really good to like put the face and name together. What's the same?
Yeah, but it also feels like a level playing field, kind of, because like you were saying, it's like you see that and you're like, okay, I don't know you, you don't know me, but we both have something in common here, like let's chit chat, and who knows who you could be talking to.
100%. It's been so inspiring talking to other artists or like other people in the industry, like agents or managers or level heads or whatever, and it's just so cool because everyone's here to like grow and expand.
Now getting into your music, you're a violinist by nature, but you also DJ and produce, so really a jack of all trades, pulling influences from jazz, from drum and bass, and just like all these different genres kind of combined together. So for you, what was your inspiration kind of pulling these sounds together and finding your own sound within it?
I don't know if I have my own sounds. A lot of people say that I'm unique and like I really appreciate it, but I feel like my sound will only be defined after like I have like a long enough music career.
It's a discovery process. It's
totally
a journey.
It's a journey, and like I feel like I'm hesitant to be like subscribed to a kind of a genre that didn't come from my people as well. Like I'm like, I'm not gonna ever like be like I'm a drum and bass artist because like I didn't come from like London or like Caribbean culture. But I think like I'm just like, I love music. I listen to a lot of music from different kinds of genres, and I have like, when I have a story to tell or when I have a song in mind, usually the story or message come first, and then like different sound kind of is there to support that vision.
Yeah. Like, you talk to other artists too who make kind of like quote unquote unexpected music to be like feminist or activist, because like when you think of like pop or anything that's, I don't know, I feel like most of the time it's been like folk music or rock music that has like a bigger message in it, quote unquote. And so like when you have music that people are going to be going to like dance to or like have like more of like a free flowing fun time that's like actually has a message, I think that can also like resonate without them realizing it. And so I feel like that's like so powerful.
Pop music was underground resistance or anything, like, you know, and so as hip hop, so as jazz, like, I think, like, more I learned about, like, where the club music or jazz or so many of, like, other music that I'm inspired from came from, I realized that it's all activism, whether you're speaking specifically on certain, certain clothes or not. But sometimes I wonder if, like, I say too many things on stage and that's why, like, I haven't made it yet, because, like,
I mean, there's always going to be people pushing back, right? Like, music has always been a form of art, has always been a form of expression for marginalized groups, for people of color, for women, for etc., to say what they want to say. And so I think it's, you know, like, the mainstream version of all of these genres is usually a bit watered down, but it's always been that tool for expression and that tool for talking about hard topics.
100%, and I think, like, I have a voice, so why not? And,
yeah.
And I think, like, yeah, it's been really beautiful in my local, like, in Melbourne or Tokyo, like, because of the messages that we stand for. Like, our dance floor always have been, like, really, like, I'm not gonna ever say, like, our dance floor is, like, a completely safe place.
Yeah.
Nothing is, you can't control it at the end. But, like, over the years, we really, like, build a community of, like-minded people who cares for the changes that we want to see in the world.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful to, like, invite, like, some new fans into that space as well, because so many of the people are, like, I haven't ever felt so accepted.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
And then creating those spaces, people can feel safe in being who they are first and foremost. Create a space where we can, like, aim for the change that we want to see together.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think my, like, job as a musician is to, like, I don't have a power to, like, let's say, like, change registration in the system. But my job as an artist is to bring people together and create that space, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that's a beautiful note to end with, in sharing culture and sharing community and finding each other. So thank you, Elle, for talking to us today.
Thank you so much.
Big Alone is the dream pop moniker of multi-instrumentalist Bailey Crone, who works alongside producer Damon Moon to create indie rock through a sound design approach. Personally, this is very fascinating to both of us. Bathe Alone's upcoming album, I Don't Do Humidity, is out this June, and we got to sit down with Bailey and Damon to talk all about how they approach this album and how they use sound design as really, like, a play box for infinite possibilities.
Yeah, it was really cool listening to them talk about all of that, and also just talk about, like, what they were hoping to gain from playing at South by Southwest in regards to, like, connection and their music and, like, Bailey just really wanting to go and check out other music, which I think is really fun. But the conversation in and of itself was really interesting. And if the snippet isn't enough of it, you can go check out more of our convo with Bathe Alone at name3songs.com.
So today we're here at South by Southwest. We are talking to Bathe Alone. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you guys doing?
Thanks. Good. How are you?
Good. Can you give yourselves a little intro for all of our listeners?
Hey, we're Bathe Alone. I'm Bailey. I play guitar and sing.
And I'm Damon, and I play guitar.
So South by Southwest is a pretty famous music festival and conference. It's been around for 30 years. It's known for bringing a lot of talent from all over the world together in one place and kind of, like, you know, a creative mix of a lot of things. What drew you to South by Southwest and wanting to take part in it?
It's like a rite of passage, it feels like. I've done South by a bunch, like, several years ago. But yeah, I mean, we're in an album cycle, and it made sense for us this year.
Have you done South by before, Bailey?
I've never done it before. I'm leaning on Damon's wisdom here.
Yeah, how's it feeling? A little chaotic, or?
It's really fun.
And so when you think about South by also, it's a very, like, international festival, and I feel like everybody also is kind of, it's like a relatively even playing field when it comes to artists. So in thinking of that, like, the cultural exchange that's available and also just, like, artists meeting other artists, like, what aspect of that do you look forward to the most of getting to enjoy?
Oh my God, good question. I've heard a lot online that people are like, your band sounds like it would do really well in Europe. And I don't really know what that means. But maybe there's people from Europe here that can see us.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, I feel like it's really, because there's just bands from all over the world here, I feel like it's really cool to see bands that we would normally have probably a difficult time seeing.
Yeah.
From Atlanta, that's like a major touring hub and everything.
Yeah.
Still, just to have every, everyone kind of like jam-packed in one city for a week. It feels kind of cool.
Yeah. So getting into your music, you are a multi-instrumentalist. You studied music theory. All this is like very impressive. But I saw that you said that you, like, sound design is like a really big focus for you. And I think this is something that listeners can like maybe pick up on, but like don't necessarily understand like what sound design is. So can you kind of explain like what this means to you and like how this forms your approach to music?
It's an ever-evolving experimental process. You don't really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if something sounds cool, you chase it, you change it, you morph it. And eventually it's not something playable at all on an instrument. And Damon, you're really into John Everett. You can talk about him, but he gets like so many ideas that he wants to try, because he'll see like, oh, this guy does this wacky thing and let's try to do that. And then it becomes like art because it's just so unique.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big influence on me just as a producer and engineer. Really as an engineer, I would say. But yeah, I mean, just trying to get unconventional sounds, like, at least that start unconventional, and you try to warp them into something that's like, for instance, like, there was a song that we used, like, slash cymbals, like, with, like, just a tiny cymbal on a drum set or whatever. We took that and, like, a music stand, and we just, like, recorded the sound of, like, rubbing metal on metal.
Yeah.
It sounded, like, kind of crazy, but then we took that, and then we took it into this program called Melodyne. It's, like, traditionally, like, a vocal tuning software. But it, like, you can scan it in and it'll give you the pitches of what's happening, and something like that, there's, like, thousands of harmonics and pitches, so you can edit that. So we just drug it all together to one note, and then it just becomes a sample of a C.
I mean, it's pretty fascinating, like, the way you're describing it, because it's, like, there's kind of infinite impossibilities, like, once you start running it through, like, synthesizers and, like, other program softwares where you can kind of, like, alter things, it's literally just, like, a playground of... You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Trying to use, like, lately, recently built, like, a binaural head microphone, which is, like, a mannequin head with phones as ears, which is used a lot in, like, weird, like, ASMR YouTube things, you know? It's really...
Yeah. So you have an album coming out in June. It's called I Don't Do Humanity. The story explores your divorce among many layers of romantic relationships, friendships, complex emotions, and on this record, it sounds like you're very open about personal details of your story. Was it hard for you to be this vulnerable in the songwriting process?
I think it was not hard because everyone that I work with and is in the band, they're all such good friends, and they helped me through the process as friends. So to be vulnerable in the songwriting didn't feel like I was, like, naked.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, putting myself out there, because I was around people that understood.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have done that if I just, like, met a random producer
talking about 100%.
And, we're just, like, really leaning into the vulnerability and the anger and whatever emotions are fitting. And it's because it's a comfortable environment.
Yeah, I think that as it was happening in real time, we were all trying to empower Bailey to, like, if you want to tell the story, then you should tell the story.
Yeah. Like, having support systems in general is, like, so important, and I can only imagine when it comes to music, because, like, being vulnerable like that must be terrifying, and, like, I feel like a lot of times with music, people will be like, oh, like, this album's about this, and it's, like, not as obvious, whereas, like, the storytelling you're doing is, like, very clear, like, what you've been through, which I think is so powerful, because so many people, like, need stuff like that, where it's, like, less up for interpretation, where it's, like, okay, like, I understand what happened, but... Also, on top of that, like, when you are so clear about your story, has it ever been weird, just in general, like, when you have fan interactions where they're like, oh, like, I listened to this song, and, like, I related to this, like, deeply, or, like, this is what I thought the song was about. Like, how do you cope with that when, like, your work is so personal?
I love when people relate to it. And if they didn't relate to it, maybe that would make me.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's just more of everyone supporting each other.
Yeah.
Feeling like, we all have these feelings. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It helps me to have, like, role models, like, you know, Lana Del Rey or Amy Winehouse.
Love that.
And people who are kind of, like, horridly sassy with their lyrics. And they make it, like... It's just salty in, like, a fun way sometimes.
Yeah.
And let's just go for it.
Yeah. So on this record, I saw that you had mentioned that there was a lot of growth in, like, your vocal abilities and how you approached vocals. Can you expand, like, on that journey a little bit more?
Yeah, so the first two records were it. I don't think the band had existed yet, the live band, because it was just me, you know, being alone in my bedroom for most of the process.
Yeah.
And I just had my way of singing, and I liked the way it worked. And then we started, you know, doing the live band, and I was like, I can't sing like that live. I need to, like, project more, but still somehow make it sound delicate and was great, which is a hard balance. I'm getting better at it, but it's made me feel like, oh, I actually have a higher register than I thought. I actually could do this with my voice. I can control how I break my voice. And it's actually really fun to be expressive. So I'm just leaning into it.
That's
so cool.
I think it's interesting. Like, I feel like maybe mostly, like, younger musicians who are starting out don't necessarily consider that, like, the voice is an instrument. And there's so much you can do with, like, evoking emotion and just, like you said, your registers and, like, tonality.
Yeah.
Totally. I think that's something that it feels like we're getting more into, like, pop territory. Especially with, like, vocal production and vocal, like, with the intention that we have in the studio.
Yeah.
With vocal tracking, vocal production, vocal effects, everything, just because we're treating it much more very intentionally on, like, the newer song.
I want the lyrics to be more understood on the newer stuff.
Well, Bailey, Damon, thank you so much for talking with us today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
A pure pop song, but also one that's all about female empowerment, which is everything that Ashi stands for. She's a pop artist and songwriter hailing from New Zealand, and she also incorporates dancing into her live performances.
Hearing her talk about, like, why she wanted to, like, lean fully into being a pop star, I think is so iconic, and everything kind of, like, what Name Three Songs exists to empower, which is really cool getting to talk to an artist like that, and just, like, how much she enjoys what South By is, because this was her second South By Southwest in Austin, but she also did South By Southwest in Sydney, Australia, which I think is really cool. So clearly she is gaining something from a festival like this.
And I think, again, just very cool to see representation from literally all over the world, people making pop music down under, coming to share and celebrate their art in the States.
All right, we are here at South By Southwest, and today we are talking to Ashi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice to be here with you. So you played South By Southwest in Austin last year. You did South By Southwest Sydney, which is, like, a very new thing.
Yeah.
What is it about this festival that makes you want to keep coming back to it?
I think it's, like, the diversity of the music itself and the people. And coming from such a small place like New Zealand, it's just the ultimate sort of exposure, really, for new artists as well.
Yeah.
So because I make a lot of contemporary music and stuff, I think it sort of lands a lot better here. So,
and I mean, like, with the whole, like, international exchange of things where so many people are coming here, and also we're all kind of a bit on the same playing field, because no matter how big you are back home or whatever, you're coming here for a specific reason, because South By is kind of that thing where it's like you want new eyes on you, you want new ears on you, like, from people like on the press and record labels and all that kind of stuff. So for you, like, what is your favorite part of getting to experience, like, all these people kind of being ready to, like, meet and connect and, like, all that kind of stuff?
My favorite part is literally the networking. I actually love it. Like, we did a British meetup this morning, and it's just so cool to meet people in your own industry, and especially other artists. And also just the people that are playing, like, before you in shows and after you, like, that, you know, it's cool to meet so many new artists and stuff. So
How did you feel, like, South By Sydney compared to Austin?
She's a baby festival. She's just starting, but it was cute. It was really fun. It was, like, in the peak of the summer, so it was really hot. But yeah, it's the nature of Austin, really. It does have such an identity, and I think Sydney just will eventually find its identity.
And so, in thinking about your music,
pop music is something that is less of a guilty pleasure for music fans over the years. Like, I feel like it used to be kind of something where you're like, oh, like, I love pop, sure. But especially because I feel like women are feeling more empowered in the things that they are passionate about. But your music is pure pop, which I feel like you also don't see as much anymore because people have so many influences that they're bringing into it. So why was it important to you to make kind of like pure pop music?
I think it's because that's what I was inspired by initially, and I still am, like, very much so. It's genuinely just what I enjoy.
Yeah.
So I enjoy the music videos, the visuals, the sort of bit of the whole thing. And so it's just fun for me. So I think just being authentic to what you like and what you love, that's just where it comes from.
So, like, you've been making music for, like, a while.
Yeah.
And, like, if you go back, like, we saw some videos of you, like, doing, like, acoustic guitar and doing all that stuff. So, like, going from that to here, like, how did you decide to, like, move more into being, like, a pop star?
Yeah. So, I always wanted to be that, but I just didn't know how to execute it. So, I had the skill set of playing guitar and songwriting. I knew I could write in that genre. I just did not know producer-wise or production-wise how to execute that.
Yeah.
So it was after school, and I just worked with a bunch of people in New Zealand and Australia to find that sound. And then that's how I just learned to adapt to that, because that's what I wanted to make when I was 11.
Yeah.
But the change in the show and, like, your life is drastically different, for sure.
Yeah. And so was that a lot of having to find, like, working to find, like, the right fit of, like, producers and musicians and people to work with in order to, like, make the vision come to life?
Yes, yeah. And I actually spent a lot of time with them in Sydney, because they sort of had a better grasp on what pop was. New Zealand doesn't particularly have a good handle on pop, or it's not super popular.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you had to sort of go elsewhere to find it.
Yeah.
And thinking of you wanting to pursue music throughout your life, but again, kind of this idea of pop music being, like, only a guilty pleasure or, like, only for radio, did you feel like growing up you kind of saw some of that kind of narrative of, like, oh, pop music is, or pop music isn't real music, you know, like that? Did you feel like you've seen any of that throughout your career?
100%. Yeah, it's unavoidable. But I think also, like, the commentary on people like Taylor Swift and stuff, you know, from, like, when I was 11 till now.
True.
It's just come so full circle, like you say.
Yeah.
What people think about pop music and the fact that people sort of crave it now, they, like, want fun. Like, we're over being sad. And we just want to find a new sort of, like, hope almost after the last few years. So I've definitely experienced it. But I think I have comfort in the fact that I know that I was, like, a musician to begin with.
I mean, we are always just like, it's so silly. Anytime someone's like, oh, that's not real music, anything like that, I'm like, have you ever thought about what you're saying right now? Like, have you ever had a thought? And it just feels like it's so layered in misogyny of, like, pop being, like, for girls or, like, made by girls. Yeah. And it's like, why is any less valid, you know?
I mean, I've had a discussion with the girls as well. Like, we talk about it often, about how hard pop music actually is to write.
Yeah.
Really, what you're actually saying is popular.
Yeah.
Amongst a lot of feelings that are universal.
Yeah.
While also still being, like, individual.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool to see pop acts on set. And I think, you know, part of this is, like, pop music used to just be for, like, a Britney Spears or for, like, a someone who was, like, really massive, and now it's, like, because of the changing climate, just how the music industry is, of TikTok, of, like, it's so much more accessible to be, like, your own pop star, like, any level, any size, from anywhere. But I'm curious, like, what was the thought in wanting to bring Dancing to the Stage?
Well, I wanted to sort of reinvent the show, and because when we got South by last year, it was sort of, I was just thinking we have to elevate this show in some way. I had transitioned from a real live sort of sounding band as well, like real tracks, vibes, and pop forward, and, like, all women. So we just wanted to, like, really lean into that.
Yeah.
And the more we performed it, the more people were like, that's our favorite.
Yeah.
So we
just
listened to the audiences and what they like, and now we've put in, like, a little mini, like, pink guitar that
I did see when you said so. I'm like, I loved the pink guitar.
So it's just, we just would listen to what people say when they speak to us or what they say online, and go, okay, let's just do more of that. and that's sort of built out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think also just like a pop star can be any size now, like anybody can do that. It's way more accessible type of music that people can make. Like, what has your experience been playing in like venues that people would expect to like go see a rock band or something like that, where they show up and you're like, oh, it's a pop star? Yeah. Like, what has that been like?
It's been so fun.
Yeah.
People are just so surprised.
Yeah.
I think the main actual comment is we were surprised. We actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying about the whole stigma around.
Yeah.
And for me to say I am pop is a controversial sort of statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so many people try not to say it. So
yeah.
I think it's been cool. I think that's the greatest part is when you come straight after. We came after West Texas Isles and now like, you know,
Royal
Texas band.
Right.
And we were after them and we loved each other's music.
Yeah.
In different ways. We could appreciate it.
Yeah.
So. Did you feel like when you were trying to find producers to find this sound that there was also an aspect of finding producers that you're comfortable being yourself around? Because I know like coming into a writing room can be kind of daunting if you're walking into it the first time and like being able to be vulnerable and like tell your story.
I was really lucky because one of the first pop producers that I worked with in Sydney, I met because of these two lovely women music managers in New Zealand that introduced me. So that was a good gateway.
Yeah, like some credibility, some trust. Yeah.
And to be like confident within my own music that I make.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm finally giving the girls what they want.
I love that. I love that. Music for the girls, from the girls. We love
that.
To
see like it. Yeah. Yeah. My soul. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for talking today, and we hope you have a lovely South by season.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I think this is maybe collectively Sarah and I's favorite band of the week. This is Ada Oda. They are based in Brussels. We got to see them perform a very, very lively set at 1 a.m. at a taqueria. It was incredible. We didn't know what to expect going into it. Like, obviously, we knew their music was very fun from listening to them, but seeing them was just pure joy.
And so we got to talk to Victoria and Clément from the band about why they write their music in French but sing in Italian, and what it means being the first Belgian band in 7 years sent to South by Southwest, which I think is crazy. But honestly, like, if you look at their promo photos, if you watch any of their music videos, just like everything about them screams America will be obsessed with you. So sending them over here and like them being the next big rock band in all the world makes so much sense to me.
We are truly obsessed with them. We will shout about this forever. And again, I think it's one of those great things of they were here in Texas and were able to participate in like a lot of Texas things, including two-stepping, which is partner dancing if you don't know. But again, just a joyful experience being able to see and meet them.
So we had a really cool conversation with them about South by Southwest as well as their music. And you're going to hear a snippet of that in a second. But if you want to read the full interview, that's going to be at our website on name3songs.com.
All right. So we're here at South by Southwest. Today we're talking to Ada Oda. Hello, guys. Can you introduce yourselves?
Hello. We are Ada Oda. I'm Victoria, singer of the band.
And my name is Clement and I play the bass guitar.
Awesome. So South by Southwest has been around for about 30 years and it's known for bringing artists from all over the world, including yourselves, to Austin, Texas. And it's a festival that really highlights up-and-coming, exciting acts from all these different countries. So what drew you guys to South by Southwest to want to come here and play?
I think it's been 7 years since a Belgian band was playing here.
Oh, really? Wow, that's crazy.
Austin. So for us, I mean, in Belgium, when we talked about South by Southwest, everybody was, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Our country is not really represented. It was a huge opportunity.
So the point is, for the first contact is the overseas for us.
Yeah.
And to see if we can meet people to collaborate on a longer term. I mean, like everyone basically here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's even more difficult for us as European acts because, I mean, if here you see an American band that you like, you're like, hey, you're already here.
Right.
Just come and play here. To us, it engages a lot of problems to cross, to take the plane expenses. So it's already kind of a victory to be here today.
Yeah,
South by Southwest. I mean, it doesn't mean much in the sense that it doesn't bring money in the bank for the band, but it brings a lot of credibility back home as a European act that was like this. And as Victoria said, especially in our country, which is a small country, Belgium, it's been some years that they didn't sell the band there.
Right.
Yeah. Since right now the band is in a good position, let's say. I mean, it's still, let's take it easy.
Yeah.
We got the opportunity, the government was like, I mean, the cultural part of the government was like saying, hey, we're going to send someone.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys want to apply, we can kind of support you.
Yeah,
not 100%, but well, otherwise, we would have to sell our clothes.
Yeah. Special opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, once in a lifetime. Apart from the guy who created the band, César, who is playing the guitar, he's not here right now. This guy is the third time he's going to South by Southwest.
All of
his previous bands.
His other project, he came
third time. He's the genius of the country.
Wow, that's so cool. Oh my god.
That's so awesome. And I think it seems like no matter how popular you are, like where you came from, when everybody comes here, we're all like, oh, we're all friends, we're all equals, we all want to connect. And I feel like that's like a really beautiful thing that's been happening at the festival.
I was not surprised, but I'm very, very convinced that South by Southwest will bring us like not new friends, but new
people.
We had the chance to hear new music.
Yeah,
it's been to say several days because it's tough to break the ice on first contact.
Yeah,
so you know, you meet a band, you see them once, you see them twice, and I saw you yesterday. And
So I'm really curious. You guys are based in Brussels, but you're kind of, some of you are from France, some of you from Italy. What is it like making music in a place that has so many different cultures in one place?
Well, for us it was great because we were making a music that is kind of more from UK or post-punk or rock.
Yeah.
With Italian culture in it, with French people in the band, so it's a huge mix of everything. And I think it helped us in our country to be a bit different and to make the difference. So
it's true. We're already almost, I mean, I don't know if your question was about us growing up in Europe or here, how to feel here, but already in our country we are almost exotic. Because we are in a French-speaking country, we sing Italian, I think it's a strength.
So
did you want to sing in Italian because there's like a rich history of rock music with Italian music, or because that's just like what you felt most comfortable singing in?
Well, actually, I've never sung in Italian before that band.
Oh, really?
I've never sung before, actually.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And César, he's not here, is the guitarist who created the... He wrote the lyric, the songs actually, and he wanted to do something different from rock and roll in French or in English. He was first thinking about Flemish, it's the other language in Belgium, but it didn't work. And I was really thankful because I was chosen to then because I pretended to speak Italian. I don't really speak fluently, but I said, I'm half Italian. Like,
okay. Yeah.
I've learned at school, so my Italian is not perfect.
Yeah.
But I wanted to sing, you know, so I said, okay, I speak Italian, let's do that. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I feel like also just as somebody who, like, I don't speak Italian, but I like listening to music in other languages, especially rock stuff, I think it's really cool because you can, like, just tell that, like, the emotion is different. Yeah. And I think, like, sometimes you can just tell a different story in, like, other languages that you can't tell in English.
Which is the way I would listen to music as a kid, you know?
Yeah.
Speak English. I just,
you feel it.
I don't want to say a mistake, but I always find it odd that so many bands, if not most, in France, in Belgium, sorry guys, start a band and you're like, oh, music is in English, so we're going to make it in English, but I'm happy it's not the case, and I think the band wouldn't have such an impact right now if it wasn't.
The live performance is so important, like, to rock music when we think of that. So, and it was so fun when we saw you guys last night. So you have so much fun on stage, you bring so much energy. So what is important to you about performing live?
I think there are two sides to it, in the sense that we got kind of the luck to meet each other after some years, after, for example, I arrived later on in the history of the band, and kind of we feel good together on stage, so it's not every day you have this.
Yeah.
So we can manage to feel the energy of each other at one point, and so you know, one moves here, I know my friend is behind me, I know where he is, I can feel him. And so we can, this part is really important, but nevertheless, if César was not writing such good songs, that wouldn't mean anything. We would just be yelling and jumping everywhere for nothing.
Yeah.
So I think it's, if not half-half, I don't know what's the percentage of each should be, but it's important to give something to the people, and to me it's important, yeah, it's a bit of a cardio experience sometimes also.
Yes, yeah.
But I don't want to reduce it to that, because really the music is,
so fun, loud, and a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And what's important also, and I think we prefer to perform on small stage, and be really close to the audience, because in our music, that's what is the most important, is to see the audience is reacting to the songs, and nobody's moving, and we are very far away, and the stage is too high. We don't feel the same thing at all.
That makes sense. I think also, like, in saying how, like, Italian's not your language, and, like, all that kind of stuff, it must be kind of fun playing for crowds, like, here in America, where it's kind of, like, everybody's not in on the, like, story. Everybody's just, like, vibing together.
Yeah, they're more into the vibe of the guitars, maybe, sound of the voice, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why rap music is really cool.
Yeah.
To be fair, even just in France, you know, most of French people only speak French. So
when
we go in France, it's a really different experience than when we go in Italy, in which people sing along and know the lyrics and connect with the lyric part. In France, we're like it's more a party band. I mean, we are a fun band.
Italy is really different for us, because the first time we played there, it was the first time the audience was singing. So that felt really good, because I didn't have to sing at all.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was so cool to meet you.
This is the first of two episodes we're doing talking to South by Southwest artists. Next week, we have another episode doing this all over again with more artists from around the world. And I think it's just so cool having done the interviews throughout the week and seeing them side by side now, hearing everyone's stories and why this festival brings so many people together.
Yeah, definitely. I think just all in all, everybody we talked to and Jenna and myself had a really awesome experience. There were a lot of artists who actually pulled out due to the festival being involved with the U.S. Army for some reason, which we did talk about on our main podcast feed. So if you want to hear more about that and our thoughts and feelings on it, then you can also check that out at New Three Songs Podcast.
Thanks for getting candid with us, with El Shimada, with Bay the Lone, with Ashi, and with Ada Oda. This has been Sarah and Jenna from Name Three Songs.
And to get your pop culture fix, you can listen to new episodes of Name Three Songs Podcast every Wednesday.